I frown, pushing my new glasses back up my nose. They feel heavy on my face, out of place. I probably shouldn't have been talked into them by the Gok Wan lookalike assistant at the optician. New hair, new glasses, a new wardrobe at home with every item still carrying the price tag. Belts to accentuate my waist, also Gok's fault. The real one. Can you have a midlife crisis at the age of 28? These are great, by the way, says Emma, circling the air in the general direction of my face. Trey, geek chic. Yes, that's me. Geek and indeed chic, I say, fiddling with them again. I can hear my tone. It's definitely approaching grumpy, yet I don't have the strength to buck my ideas up. Emma adopts a bad Irish accent. You remind me of a young Nana Muscuri. A who? Greece's finest export, she exclaims. Well, Nana and Feta. The blank look I give her in response forces an optimistic nod of encouragement, as if that answers everything, then a swift roll of her eyes when she realises I've no idea. Come on, misery. If we didn't laugh, we'd cry, she goads, followed swiftly by, you don't have to be mad to work here. Don't, I say, my hands shielding my ears, stopping her before she can finish. There's a pause in our chat, a pause filled with the warmth of a friendship that can transcend my mood. I crack a half smile. She's someone I need right now. She gets me. I drain my mug, lukewarm is better than none at all, and place it back on the table, waiting for Emma to finish our holiday handover while I resist a second biscuit. It's barely 9 a.m. So, Susan Smith then, she continues. She was in with that new consultant in charge. Ooh, Mr. Just Call Me Mark Barnes, says a bank nurse, pushing laundry past our station, dirty bedsheets overflowing. I wouldn't mind being in with him, she says, gurning like Vic Reeves, minus a thigh rub. Leg brace and everything, Emma shouts after her, with a giggle and a snort. Leg brace and everything, I repeat, shaking my head. That doesn't even make sense, Emma. I thought this was Sheffield's finest teaching hospital, not a remake of Carry On Nurse. I frown again. A few days away and you lot have gone rampant. I'm no longer approaching grumpy. I'm right there, wearing its heavy cloak. A cloak smattered with the gentle whiff of odour post-breakup and still not over it. Don't tell me you haven't thought about Just Call Me Mark even just a teensy bit. Emma looks shocked, like maybe I'm not a real woman or something. No, actually, I haven't. I glance over the rim of my glasses to labour my point. At least they're good for something. Mr. Barnes doesn't do it for me at all. Which is true. He's not my type. I wouldn't say he was a cad, because I'm not from the 1950s, but he's borderline. Borderline cad. He's also a consultant. Attractive? I suppose, if you like that sort of thing. But a consultant all the same. He did it for you once upon a time, mutters Emma under her breath. I stare down at paperwork, opting to ignore her. I admit, when I first met him, we flirted. But that was purely whilst in the comfort and security of a long-term relationship. A cheap thrill, if you will. But things have changed. Not least my Facebook relationship status. And besides, nurse gets with consultant. Like that's not a massive cliché. He's from Manchester anyway, I say suddenly. Emma looks confused. Wrong side of the Pennines. I offer it up as a legitimate excuse, then I remember she's a born and bred Mancunian, so wiggle my eyebrows as if I was just trying to wind her up with some Sheffield versus Manchester rivalry. He may not do it for you, but you definitely do something for him, she nudges. True, apparently. But since Daniel, my boyfriend of 5 years, thrust his hand into my chest and ripped out my heart, I've sort of gone off men. Apparently, by now, I should be over it. He doesn't deserve me, I'm better off alone, etc. All of which is easy for best friend Lou to say, given that her wedding is imminent and unlikely to be suddenly, nay, brutally, called off. Not that I had an imminent wedding as far as Daniel was concerned, but in my head it was a given. Neither Lou nor Emma can feel the pain in my heart. And when either suggest I date, meet people, start afresh, well, they don't see how the very idea of re-entering the dating game, if and when I choose, makes the pit of my stomach fall through my shoes. The thought of first-time sex with someone who hasn't grown to love my stretch marks, though, perhaps on reflection, Daniel didn't love them as much as he said he did when trying to extract me from my pants. Well, anyway, the thought of it. Ugh. And besides, what would they make of my...